Tyler, you are quick on the
button
music
pushing?
Button. Yeah. Huh. I usually count us in 3, 2, 1, and then Rob takes a beat, but you are like 3, 2, 1, boom, like right on there.
Well, I dropped the music back in.
Oh, you okay.
So,
okay. Well, editor
matter.
Tricks.
B,
yeah. Okay.
It helps me line up when the
gotcha.
When we actually start.
Gotcha.
Talking.
All right. Episode 28. We're back. As you can tell, Kyler is back as well, which is super exciting.
Back.
Ready to be fired up and have another fun conversation. For today, thought we could chat about our favorite graphic design or advertising shows, TV shows, movies, mm-hmm. things like that, right? And you had asked me a question off air, which I totally forgot already, which was, what was the question? Is it?
Well, are we talking about the design within shows?
Yeah.
Or shows/documentaries?
Yes.
About design?
I'm going to say the answer to that question is yes.
Okay.
We can talk about both. All right. So when I spring this on you, do you have any immediate things that pop into mind? I mean, the immediate one for me, obviously, is Mad Men. Right, that's probably the most widely known show
right.
and critically acclaimed about advertising in general.
That's right? The one that you mentioned that made me think, okay, we're talking more about design within
yeah.
the show. Mad Men does a great job of...
Well, that's what I was going to say. Mad Men does... It's a double threat. I would
right.
say that it does a great job of showing what that world was kind of about. I mean, it's sensationalized, of course. You know,
sure.
But I think it was pretty true to the era... Right.
Yeah.
And then they also did a really, really good job as they won a gajillion awards for mm-hmm. it about the art direction, the design,
right.
the costumes, you know what I mean? All the, you know, for us ad nerds, we would sort of look, I'd always be looking in the background and like, oh, they went
yeah.
down to the art
yeah.
department and it's like, oh, what's hanging on the wall and what's
or,
this?
I remember Roger Sterling's apartment
yeah.
changes dramatically.
Yeah.
Or not apartment, but you know.
Yeah. His penthouse suite
penthouse,
or what, apartment,
yeah.
whatever the deal is. Right. Yeah.
And what is cool about that show and what must have been a good or a fun part of being part of the set design
yeah.
is that because it starts in the very early 1960s, I can't
yeah.
remember if it starts in 1960
I don't remember
or
what
not,
year either.
But I want to say it more or less traverses the whole decade.
Yeah.
And so at the beginning of the 60s, you know, even though as a kid, everyone always makes the 60s out to be like the whole peace, love, groovy, hippie thing,
sure.
which is really just like the latter
it's a little
3 years
yeah, exactly.
of the
yeah.
60s. And so the design is much more straight-laced 50s style design.
Yeah.
Even their haircuts and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, totally.
You
got
know?
The horn-rimmed glasses mm-hmm. coming in on the account, folks. You still have a lot of 50s remnants
right.
bleeding into the beginning of the
60s. And then by the end of it, you got, you know, much more, I want to say like Frank Stella style a lot of black and white.
I mean,
cool
I haven't seen the show in a while.
Designs.
Do we have some butterfly collars popping in the end of that? I don't think
oh,
we
yeah.
do yet. Do we?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a hot minute since I watched it. So
a couple of them grew their hair out. There was that one guy who really became super hippie dippy.
Yeah. The one of the guys down in the art department?
Yeah. The, yeah. the art guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know, not
well, it's an interesting, you know, we've talked on previous podcasts about different types of agencies, right? Account
mm-hmm.
driven, you know, versus creative driven, you know, that type of thing, right?
Right.
I mean, that was one way to do it, right? In terms of like Draper obviously was a creative director and he was more of a copywriter, but really, you know, you kind of had the art department down on the other floor, kind of over in the corner.
Yeah, they seem to have everything. Pretty separated.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of who was managing accounts.
Exactly.
Remember, I think Ken, the guy who got his foot run over by a lawnmower.
Yeah.
A couple of the guys definitely were trying to work their way up into account management.
Cosgrove, right? Ken
yeah,
Cosgrove.
I think,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
so, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he got shot or something. Didn't he get shot? I don't know, hunting trip with one of the clients? I mean, anyway.
Maybe he did.
The point,
I think bad things continued to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think the point we're trying to make, though, is it was kind of more... on the account side of life,
right.
sort of a prism through the account side of life, right. outside of women in advertising, which was a great also part of the
right.
Show as well. It wasn't really focused on the entire creative process outside of Dawn, you know, inside meetings and things like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but I think Mad Men, classic, you know, everybody loves it. But you had an interesting take on sort of the topic. Is it design within shows? Is it documentaries? Is it, you know, I mean, what else, what other kind of inspiration or... design sort of thoughts.
You know, I'm a big documentary person.
I do know that.
And
yes.
I usually, especially like senior year of school, I remember really trying to find a bunch of documentaries that
okay.
I could get a little bit more from what the professional world of the design is like versus, you know, what you
yeah.
get at university, which
understood.
Is totally
understood.
Different, right?
Yeah.
And the good one that I remember is... It's on Netflix. It's called The Art of Design.
Okay.
And what's cool about this one is it covers lots of different kinds of design. It's not just graphic design, right?
Yeah.
No. The first episode, I can't remember the person's name, but he does a lot of covers for the New Yorker.
We got to do more show prep for these things, don't we?
We do. Yeah. I know some of their names.
Yeah.
I think there was an episode about Paula Scher, which yes. was super inspirational, you know.
Yeah. My wife loves Paula Scher.
Yeah. Everyone yeah. loves Paula Scher.
Hey, bring in the noise, bring in the funk. It's been in a design annuals yeah. for like 30 years, it feels like.
Well, she's done so much recognizable work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think she did Tiffany's. I know she redid some of the poster work for MoMA. She even did, she's most famous probably for the More Than a Feeling Boston cover with the spaceships.
Really?
Yeah, she worked at CBS Records.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She did. That's like the...
That's awesome.
She said that when she dies, it's going to say on her tombstone, like, the woman who did the Boston cover.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
She's worried that that's what she'll be known for.
Well, I mean, is that better than the city logo redesign with merging with Travelers and all that?
I like that rebrand.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a big
fan. I mean, who doesn't love Boston, ultra minimal. Come on now.
Well, she also did Bruce Springsteen, Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Okay.
Which was very simple, just photograph with like a typewriter typeface. But that's how she got her start with CBS Records.
But this one series covers a lot of different design, is what you're saying. The one on Netflix.
Yeah, so there's one on Bjork Ingels, who is an architect.
Okay.
Who's doing some really cool, what he calls hedonistic sustainability.
Wow.
Which is supposed to be like both environmental and sustainable, but also improve.
Yeah.
You know, living.
I will say, a quick side note, architecture does a great job of branding terms.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't want to talk, you know, the envelope house.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I love that building. Yeah, yeah. The envelope building.
Yeah. But just in terms of their industry sort of jargon, it's great. It's way better than how we ended up, you know, and on our side of the fence, we've got webmasters. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, come on, give me a break. You know, stuff like that.
So anyway. I would imagine it's important on a sell. One of the things he says is that, you know, no one's going to hire you to build a building until you've built a building.
Yeah.
So it can be very hard to like start out.
Yeah. How do you get going? Yeah.
Especially trying to start. I think he started his own like firm. He was pretty young.
Yeah.
But now I think they were contracted to do one of the new World Trade Center buildings.
Okay. Interesting.
They did Via 57 West, which is like this kind of glass pyramid looking thing.
That's cool.
In Manhattan. It's apartments.
I'm nice.
Sure, pretty pricey.
Yeah, but it's design, sort of the ubiquity of design being that it's everywhere. It's not just graphic design. It's fashion. It's,
right.
It's architecture. It's all sorts of different things.
I think there was an episode on Tinker Hatfield.
Okay.
The shoe designer who was famous for designing the first... Nike, the big Nikes, you know, the Jordans.
Yeah.
He designed almost all the Jordans.
Nice.
I think he designed the Air Force.
Oh, really?
The ones that are like really the iconic Nike shoes are his designs.
That's cool.
Which was an interesting episode because, you know, you would never realize how much thought goes into a shoe design. Especially ones that look very similar
you know,
from year to year, that kind of thing.
Shoe design is, I mean, that's a whole nother topic in and of itself,
right.
of course.
Yeah.
But absolutely fascinating in terms of patterning and how it works. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, I mean, what's the, you know, we design websites here, obviously, right? And we think about, and you're going to see where I'm going with this in a minute. And you think about entry points for online, right? So it's, I've designed it. It needs to work in a 3-column grid on a laptop. It needs to work in a 2-column grid on your iPad. And then it needs to work 1-column
on your phone.
On your phone, right?
Right. Which is increasingly the way
and now we're viewing websites. More and more and more point of entry is really through your phone, obviously, right? So think about shoe designers in that, hey, it's got to work for a size 7, you know, but it also has to work in a size 14,
right?
And how do you pattern that out? How do you keep your same proportions, you know, similar, you know, things like that? It's kind of interesting, really interesting to think about.
It's an interesting world of design that I knew very little about.
Yeah.
I think there was an episode on car design, which was cool, but it was, I don't want, it was.
Don't
it was
ruin the, it for everybody.
Okay. Well, it was the guy who designed the Chrysler, was it the 200?
The 300 series?
300.
Yeah.
It was a cool episode. That's not my favorite car in the world. So
I got those things. I think the launch for that was kind of interesting. That might've been the mystery car.
I think it might have been.
Was the launch. Yeah.
It definitely helped Chrysler out. You know, it wasn't just minivans that they were selling.
For sure.
I know there's an episode about set design.
Okay.
For theater. And what was interesting about that is that that's kind of crossing over more and more into graphic design.
Yeah.
Because they're using projection more heavily than, you know, they used to.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're able to switch things and very quickly, obviously.
Yeah, it's not a painted backdrop anymore or some skill saw cutout, you know, wood in the shape of clouds.
And what is physical, they're sometimes able to utilize for multiple things given the projection that's on it, kind of thing. Which, so I found that to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a good series in general. I think they only did one season.
Yeah, I think so too. It's only like six episodes, something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a good one.
All right. Well, are you going to bring up the big one if we're talking documentaries?
Helvetica.
Yeah. I mean, throw it down there. I knew someone, either you or me, was going to bring it up. I mean, one of us was going to bring it up.
It's so the Helvetica graphic design the movie. Documentary.
Yeah.
And your friend Massimo is in it pretty heavily.
And for those that don't know, Helvetica, obviously the typeface, right? And we've talked about it on a previous pod that it is not controversial, but it's been around so long. And you and I talked about Helvetica, actually, right? That the documentary, which I think is great, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but my take on it is first half of the documentary is kind of Helvetica is the greatest typeface in the world. It's amazing.
It's a perfect typeface.
And then the second half of the documentary is fuck Helvetica. It's the worst typeface in the world.
Yeah.
Like, why are we still using it? It's awful, right?
I don't know.
And it kind of goes through interviews of all these different designers and their viewpoints, right?
I feel like most designers who don't like Helvetica, their viewpoint isn't that it's a bad typeface.
Yeah.
It's usually that it's
the typeface of the man.
It's everywhere. Yeah. It's just, it's too much.
It's every bank in the world.
It's just so many different things.
Yeah.
And it is kind of an uninspired project when your brand is Target, you get two circles and Helvetica.
Yeah, well, don't tell Michael Bierut that, you know.
Well, I love Michael Bierut. So, like, I was going to say, he worked at Vanelli & Associates.
Yeah, he did. Before he became a partner.
I'm sure where he developed his love of Helvetica.
For sure.
But it is almost every project, which is fine. He loves Helvetica. I love Helvetica.
Yeah.
But I can't understand the kind of frustration in some designers that it's almost too ubiquitous.
Yeah.
It's made the world feel a little more vanilla now.
Yeah.
Which is the only problem.
Well, again, maybe a topic for another pod, but there has been an interesting transformation in luxury brands over the past, call it 10 years, right? Where all these funky, weird brands, Burberry, you know, I don't want to say Tiffany, but like all these sort of Saint Laurent, I think, like all these different brands have basically all transitioned from their funky, weird signatures and strange, awkward typography to like a Helvetica-esque, sans serif, lowercase, boring-looking typeface.
It's become pretty common to make the switch, I think.
But Helvetica, but anyway, we kind of got off topic, don't you? I mean, Helvetica, the documentary, I mean, I love the movie. I think it's great. I mean, do you dig it? Do you think it's weird?
I like that documentary a lot.
Super fun.
I agree with some people in it more than others.
Yeah.
From an objective perspective, Helvetica is a fantastic typeface.
Totally agreed.
The
100%
cap height or the X height is a little bit bigger, so that it's not quite as you know differentiated from the cap height.
Totally
the
terminals legible.
Are straight, super legible.
Yeah.
All the different weights are perfectly fleshed out.
Yeah.
However, it is so ubiquitous. Like I said in the previous one, there's no day in your life that you go without seeing Helvetica.
Totally agreed. But I think if the takeaway from this podcast, somebody out there listening, is, I never thought about this in a million years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm curious, pop on Helvetica, the movie. And I think it actually, for even non-designers, I think it's an actually really interesting watch to go, wow, like I never in a million years would have thought about this.
Yeah.
But here is this unbelievable passion about something I didn't even think about, you know what I mean?
Right.
And watching sort of both sides, not of an argument, but watching both vantage points of why it's great and why it's not. That's what I think makes it so cool.
I have a bunch of friends who have watched it, are not designers. I feel like that documentary in particular was somewhat pervasive on Netflix, and people who were non-designers enjoyed it, just the same.
Because I'm a super nerd, we own it, so.
You own it like on DVD?
Yeah, we have it on DVD. I know, we're old. So
there was another one that filmmaker made called Objectified.
Objectified. I literally just wrote,
that down.
I literally just wrote down objectified.
Right,
I don't know. I had an objectified T-shirt.
It's also in Helvetica, I believe.
Yeah.
However, well, that was a product design.
Yeah. The logotype for objectified was actually made. It was silhouettes of all objects.
Oh, that's right. That's
right.
What they
did. So it's like a chair. Right. It's like a record. All these different things. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Same filmmaker. It did the same approach for objectified.
Right.
And it really was more product based. And the things that it's easy to pick on chairs. But like, hey, a chair is a chair is a chair. You don't think about it at all until it's super uncomfortable or it's super comfortable or it's not in the place it should be, right? It's mid-century modern where it's supposed to be modern, whatever the case may be, right? So yeah, that's a pretty, I don't like that one as much, just personally.
I don't either, but I'm biased in that regard. So.
Well, I think we both are speaking the same
language. I enjoyed it. I mean, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see the, I'm sure they, I can't remember, but I'm, They must have spoken about Eames and the Eames chair.
Yeah, for sure.
Which you can find in MoMA today, I believe.
Yeah.
One of the originals.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. MoMA has a new design museum, apart from the modern art. It's like right around the corner.
Have you been to the Museum of Design in London?
I did not go in London. No,
okay.
No.
Okay.
I should have.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
There's so many museums in London.
But again, kind of like the topic of this pod, like, I don't want to say what is design, but design is kind of, you know.
Yeah, design's everywhere.
Everywhere, you know, whether we're talking about, you know, objectified and objects and like, why is this pen shaped, you know. There's a great book out there actually called like Why Things Are the Way They Are, which is like, why does a fork have four tines instead of three?
Right.
You know, and all this, I mean, that now we're starting to lean more into sort of industrial design. Right.
Right.
And why products are shaped the way they are, or why, you know, a coffee carafe, this, you know, and this design is better than this other design or whatever the case may be. Right. But yeah, there's another kind of interesting sort of
even nature designs things.
Yeah.
By itself.
Mother Earth.
Through efficiency. Right.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Nature seemed to think that mammals would be best suited with two eyes, one nose, a mouth. You know?
Yeah, yeah. We are symmetrical
four
in
limbs.
That respect. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That seems to be pretty common among
Well, I think it's the way that
world.
Cells split. I don't know. I just totally made that up. So
I can't remember where I read it, but I do think that early on that with mammals, that became the kind of winning formula for almost all mammals.
For sure.
But it,
Man,
it's
we're
still
going
design
deep
in some,
going,
in some sense, you know.
Yeah.
DNA is design in a weird abstract sense.
For sure, for sure.
And now we're able to manipulate it.
Well, we can clone it at least, right?
I think like with CRISPR, you can do it in your garage.
I don't even
I watched the whole documentary on
oh,
that,
boy.
Too.
Okay, too many documentaries.
Right.
So, any other fine sort of thoughts on TV or movies or anything for... we're making a list for people here.
Yeah, the only one I would throw
we're
out there is a documentary called The Happy Film, which we've talked on this podcast about Stefan Sagmeister.
Yeah.
It's a fun project because it starts with one of his sabbaticals and goes through the show for one of these big design projects, which was an installation project that was in multiple rooms, and there were multiple ways that the audience could interact with the design. And it was basically just about happiness and what makes people happy and how different people find happiness. And it's kind of an interesting – it starts as an interesting kind of exploration about himself that becomes a much bigger project.
Yeah, well, he is an interesting character.
Very interesting. So,
yeah, mad respect for that guy. So.
And speaking of product design, now he's really doing mostly clothing.
Yeah, he's got he's transitioned into heavy clothing but with an infographic approach to it, right?
Very graphic. Approach to
and then he's also been, I guess we call it upcycling, all these old like oil paintings and portraits. Or
I saw that,
and then turning those into kind of modern day infographic. It's like charts of the population of of the world, and he did a what's the jacket he did that's got like knives
all
in
the
it?
Knives?
That's
one of the big ones on his website.
Yeah,
which by the
yeah.
way, he has a great web design his clothing.
Yeah,
His new website is really impressive.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. It's cool stuff. All right, so what's the as we wrap it up? We've got Mad Men on the commercial side. We've got Helvetica and Objectified as documentaries.
Yeah, Art of Design.
We've got a cool Art of Design on Netflix.
Happy Film. I do not know where you can watch that. You're probably gonna have to.
Don't say it, but it's out
probably
there.
Probably gonna have to rent it.
It's on. There you go. Yeah. Throw them a few bucks, you know?
Right.
All right. I think that's everybody's homework to get out there and let us know which one of their favorite options people are responding to. So, yeah. All right, good times. Good chat, man.
Yeah.
Good chat.
I could talk about shows forever.
All right. Well, hey, we'll wait till we start our second podcast, which is the daily recap on Love Island.
Oh, man. I'm not caught up currently.
Oh, boy.
I need to catch up.
All right. Everybody can find us online at mocktheagency.com or on the socials at mocktheagency. Drop us a review, and we'll chat with you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.